I would like to begin with a question for you and perhaps for those who will hear this message on the radio. It's pretty easy. If you're looking for an easy question, this is an easy question. I will ask you to raise your hand, so get a hand free. Fought any battles?
Yes.
Let me give you a second question. Lost any battles? Same thing happened in the last service. More people lost battles than fought them. I don't get that. All right. Now the one to check your psychological and emotional health. How many of you would rather win than lose? Good. So would I. I want to share a message with you today about winning life's battles. I've got to make a definition before I do, because some of you will immediately think that I am saying how to get what you want. That's not what I'm saying. I do not define winning as getting my way. Let me give you my definition that I think is biblically accurate. We win when we continue to be faithful and obedient to God, regardless of what happens to us or around us. That's a winner. Oh, listen, there's a lot of people that can live the Christian life when days are fair. But I fear that sometimes when the storms come, we cast overboard our faith. To win means that I remain faithful and obedient to God, no matter what the doctor just said. It means I remain faithful and obedient to God, no matter what the person in the other car just did. Means I remain faithful and obedient to God regardless of what my employer just handed me. That's to win, is to be faithful to the end. That is to win. And we're going to look at an Old Testament story of a winner. His name is Hezekiah. You'll find this story in more than one place, but we're looking in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And let me just say, as you're turning there, if you fail to be faithful and obedient to God, you lose. You lose. You're not a winner in life. You lose. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about living out your days. And if you are in disobedience this morning, you lose. But here is my sermon in a sentence today. In our battles with God's enemies, God's people can win. The world is warring against us. The flesh is a very, very present foe. And the devil is real. And he's at work to steal and to kill and to destroy. But in the battles with God's enemies, God's people can win. King Hezekiah was not perfect. There's only one perfect king. His name is Jesus. Amen? He's perfect. But King Hezekiah was good. He was a good king. You'll see that reflected in verse 1, chapter 32, 2 Chronicles in your Old Testament. After these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come, and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the Millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, verse 7, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. If we are to win in the battle with the world, if we are to win in the battle with the flesh, if we are to win in the battle with the devil, what must we have? What must we get in order for us to win in those battles? Today I'm going to share with you two things from this text that I think you must have if you're going to be a consistent winner, defined as faithful and obedient to God no matter what happens to you and no matter what happens around you. Two things you must get. You must get. Without these, you're likely to lose in life. Now, talking about where you spend eternity, that will be determined by your faith or lack thereof in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross when He died for your sins, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit, and He's coming back someday. How you respond to Him determines your eternity. But how you win today's battles will depend in part on what you get. What you get. Are you ready? If you're a note taker, on the right-hand side of your service folder at the back, you're going to find a note-taking sheet. But let me just start by giving you the first thing you must get. You ready? Number one, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Yes. Folks, I want to tell you, Satan specializes in foolishness. At its heart, all sin is foolishness. It is, quite frankly, stupidity. Because our God reigns. He's still on the throne, and we may think we can break His laws. We don't. His laws break us. They break us. Sin is foolishness. And the antidote to that foolishness, even for the man who says there is no God, and the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, even for that man, the antidote is get wisdom. Now, in the text that I read to you, it oozes with wisdom. Here is a king faced with a larger army, knowing full well that from an earthly standpoint he would be defeated. But here is a king that immediately begins to act in wisdom. I think I know where he got that wisdom. We'll talk about it in a moment. But I want to show it to you first. If the Bible's still open, here are some of the things that demonstrated his wisdom. Number one, he stopped up the springs that would let water get out to the enemy. He said, "Why in the world would you want to feed and water the enemy?" But can I tell you something? We do that all the time. We all the time feed the world, the flesh, and the devil. We got to be careful about that. But he stops up the springs because he is a man who has gotten wisdom. Verse 4, he gathers the people together and they stop them up. Verse 5, listen to this. He strengthened himself. Are you doing all right when it comes to getting wisdom? Do you take time on a daily basis to strengthen yourself? I will tell you, the world, the flesh, and the devil will suck the strength out of your life. And if you allow that without replenishment, you will lose battles that you were supposed to win. He strengthened himself. Back to verse 5. He built up the wall that was broken. Can I just ask, are there some broken walls in your life? You had them up for a good reason. You knew where your weak points are. You put some walls in place. Maybe those walls were people to whom you held yourself accountable. Maybe those walls were things you did not start to do. You didn't ever begin to go down that road. You knew where it would lead. You put up walls. But now the walls are broken down. It says that this good king, with his wisdom, he built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, built another wall outside. Oh, he's putting in another line of defense. Some of you need to do that. Some of us need to do that. He repaired the millo. We don't know what that is. Maybe it was a stepped structure that was an embankment, again, part of the defense of the city. He made javelins, probably, weapons and shields in abundance. And then he was a strategic military commander. He set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement. Listen, all I want you to hear me say is this: if you're going to win in your battle with God's enemies, get wisdom. Now, I could say it like this: get smart. Because some of us have not been living that kind of life. Get wisdom. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs said in chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. That's wisdom. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Friend, if you're going to deal with the foolishness of our world, you better have some wisdom. If you're going to deal with the foolishness of your own heart, because our hearts are desperately wicked, you're going to need to get wisdom. Get wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Did you hear that? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Get wisdom. You say, Pastor, where do we get the wisdom? I'm going to come back to that. I promise. But right now, I just want to tell you, if you're going to win in the battles that you will have and are having against God's enemies, get wisdom. There's a second thing. A second thing. And to give it to you, I got to read something again. Verse 8. Verse 7. Listen to this. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now listen to me. If you're going to win the battles, here's what I'm saying. Number one, get wisdom. Number two, might surprise you, get words. Get words. Yes. Better get the right ones. I don't have to ask you if you talk to yourself. We all do. Sometimes the words that we listen to are the words of the world. Oftentimes are the words of the flesh. And quite frankly, I think they're often the words of the devil himself. And we're hearing those words. Here's what I've come to believe. The history of the world is based upon words. Words. And, listen, the history of your life is based on the words you're getting. Get words. Hezekiah, good king, and he had good words. I'm going to talk about where you get those. But get words. I have come to think that the words you choose may determine whether you win or lose. Huh? That recording that you play in your mind 7 days a week may be robbing you of the victory that God has for you. Get words. I thought about Martin Luther King Jr. a great man, a flawed man, but he got words. And his words changed the world we live in. Nelson Mandela got words. Regardless of your politics, Ronald Reagan got words. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. John F. Kennedy got words. Abraham Lincoln got words. Get words. Get words. Be careful. Words can destroy or words can build up. Get the right words. A number of years ago now, I got acquainted with a book by Gary Smalley and John Trent called The Blessing. I taught it on a Wednesday night series because I believe with all my heart what they said was true, that in a home, your words will either bless your children or curse your children. Get words. Get words. The Old Testament blessing included several elements. It included touch, and it included being able to picture for that person a more appropriate ending than what they currently have. But in the middle of that was this, a spoken message. Words. Words. Battles come to God's people and the battles with God's enemies. God's people can win. How do you win? You get wisdom, you get words. Where do you get them? Well, you get them where you would expect. You get them in your relationship with Jesus Christ because He is to us wisdom. Wisdom. You get them from the Word of God because this Word is a book of wisdom. You get them through prayer because the Bible says in James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach and it'll be given to him. Get wisdom. Get words. But I will tell you there's something else that I don't want you to miss. Look at chapter 32, verse 3. I deliberately move past it without mentioning it. The first line in verse 3 said, he consulted with his leaders. That doesn't take anything away from God because God was working through those leaders. Listen to me. We often get our words through listening and learning from leaders. We get our words from listening and learning to leaders. Some of you will know the names when I give them. Eric and Corinne Eckert were members here for a number of years. Wonderful friends. They have three fine boys. Let me just tell you a little of the story. Eric and his family moved to Texas, to Baylor University, serving there. But in 2013, in August, he attended the Global Leadership Summit at Baylor. And he heard a man speak words. His name was Bob Goff. I heard him too. September of that year, he bought his Bob's book, Love Does. And he read it and Corinne read it also. September of that year, shared a friend with the book with a friend, Paul. He read that first chapter. He surprised Eric and Corinne with two tickets to go see Bob Goff at an Austin event called Love Does. They attended in October. They began talking about how they could be more adventurous with their children and more giving as a family. December 2013, Michael, son Michael, now 10 years old, sees a World Vision gift catalog. Flipping through it, pauses on a page about building a school and tells Eric, I want to build a school. Eric's calm on the outside, but on the inside he's thinking, can't we just buy a goat? That same night, Michael, crying, said that building a school wouldn't be possible. It would take forever until I'm in college to raise that kind of money. Eric and Corinne told him anything is possible when God is involved and shared with him the story about the little boy with the fish and the bread feeding a crowd of more than 5,000 men. They tell Michael, you pray about it, see if the idea is still there in the morning. The next day, Michael announces he feels God is telling him to build a school. Eric and Corinne are devoted to helping him organize the effort. They sought to go through World Vision, but World Vision did not have a mechanism for donations over a period of time for one project. So Eric goes to God and he says, God, please put someone in my life who can advise me and tell me what to do. God answered immediately, call Bob Goff. Eric thinks this is crazy, but Bob did put his phone number in the back of the book. Would he really answer? He's obedient at lunch. He dials the number. Bob answers. He shares the story. Ask Bob, who's an attorney, leader of an international justice organization, how to raise money in the appropriate manner. Bob says, I don't know. Then Bob starts brainstorming about the steps. If Michael was going through our organization, Eric says, Bob, is there any way Michael can partner with you? Bob says, yes. So Michael is now partnered with Bob Goff to build a classroom at Restore International. The goal, $30,000. They launch a website. PureCharity.com is where they put the website and video, and it's called Michael's Classroom. Go look it up. They begin pushing the message on Facebook, and along the way, donations started coming. Natalie Grant, yes, that Natalie Grant, tweets about his project and donates. Michael asks his friends to bring donations to his birthday party instead of gifts, and he raises over $200. He begins talking to Sunday school classes and so forth. Now, today, they're up to $5,800. Now, that's 20%, just a little shy, but I'm telling you, here is somebody that heard words. Words, and it went from Bob Goff to Eric Eckert and to Michael, and it's producing fruit. Listen to me, God can give us victories if we have wisdom and we have words. That's why every year I stand before you and I tell you, we're doing the Leadership Summit again, and every year we put the information in, and every year I look at it and I think, are you kidding me? That is 14 world-class speakers in 2 days, and our people can do that for $79. And I'm always surprised when there's not 500, 600, 700 of our people saying, I want some wisdom, and I want some words. And I can get it from the Bible, and I can get some of it from my pastors, but I know I can learn from others. And when you listen and learn, you get wisdom, you get words. So I encourage you today, get wisdom. Get words. It'll be the best investment you could make. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I am thankful that Hezekiah had wisdom and he had words. Sometimes we think prayer means we don't need wisdom. That's just not true. Prayer often opens our life to that wisdom. But we need wisdom. We need words. And I thank you for the men and women who've shaped my life with their words and still are. I could write a book on the words that have shaped my life, sentences that have changed me. So, Father, here's my prayer today, that somebody would give their life to Jesus, the living Word, who is to us wisdom. That somebody would come and say, I know that I need to be baptized as a believer, as a testimony of my faith in Jesus Christ. That somebody else would come and say, I know that God's calling me to be part of Ridgecrest Baptist Church in these exciting, exciting days. And Father, maybe somebody needs to come and get in an altar and say, I've lost my wisdom and I've lost my words, but by the help of my God, I will get what I need to win life's battles. Father, help us to remain faithful. Help us to remain obedient. And help us to say, get thee behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.